followed when Matt was.
The meeting of the Senate Finance Committee will please come to order. It's Wednesday, April 18th, 2012. And our first bill on the agenda is Senate File 2090, Senator Thompson. Senator Thompson, welcome to our committee.
Madam Chair, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you, members. The bill that I'd like to talk to you about, as Senator Roebling said, the chair said, is Senate File 2090. And this bill was heard approximately 4 weeks ago in the State Government Innovation Veterans Committee. And currently in law, it is required that before a state agency can go outside the government employee structure and seek independent contractors to do professional or technical services, they have to demonstrate that there is no current state employee that's able to do the work, that the agency will not contract out for services that entail things that where jobs were previously eliminated within the last 4 years. And then there's also a requirement that if an independent contractor sets something up that will be carried out by state employees in the future, that the independent contractors have to work specifically with the state employees to get the operation up and running within the government. And there are a few other provisions, but that's the essence of it right there, members. In terms of the substance of the bill, is that what we want to do is we want to give agency heads and leaders the ability to go ahead and find the most cost-effective way to get things done without having to first determine whether there's an existing employee that could perform the service or if someone has worked with the state within the last 4 years that could do it. Specifically pertaining to this committee, as you will see if you take a peek at the fiscal note, there has been a determination that while there's no set ongoing cost of the program, that there will be a requirement to hire three, as they call them, management specialists to run this operation at a cost of just over $86,000 per year. So they have projected annual costs just under $290,000. And then for acquisition of furniture as well as supplies, they have one-time fees of just a bit over $20,000. So first year costs a little over $311,000, and then repeating costs of just under $290,000. So even if you assume that this fiscal note is correct, obviously it's a fairly low cost program. I do question the fiscal note simply because essentially what this is saying is we're going to have to bring on three full-time employees to administer this decision-making process, but the decision-making process essentially is currently going on anyway. Right now we're having to assess whether there is an employee within a specific department that can perform the tasks that are being contemplated, and or if there's someone that has worked with the department within the last 4 years. And so it seems to me that all of the determinations that would have to be made are already essentially being made, and arguably even it's a more complicated decision-making process because there needs to be an assessment of current and previous employees and what their capabilities are. But that being said, Madam Chair and members, I would say that to allow the departments within our government to take a look at the various alternatives to outsource things that they need done in these areas, this is a reasonable cost. Again, I don't necessarily accept that we need three additional full-time employees to do this. But even if you accept that, one would hope that the cost savings would be significantly in excess of the annualized expense for these three employees. And then the other thing that I might point out is none of this is mandatory. And so one would hope that department heads would determine that if they can't save money doing this and it is not a cost-effective program to go this route because it requires additional employees or whatever the case may be, they would simply suspend the program. But again, that seems odd to me because suspending the program would mean going back to assessing whether there are employees available to do it. So, Madam Chair, with that, I would be willing to take questions. Otherwise, I would respectfully ask that we move this to the floor.
Are there questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Cohen.
Madam Chair, Senator Thompson. We go through this every couple of years on the use of professional and service contracts, And so I'm wondering, is this a little bit of form over substance? As you point out, it's not mandatory. And I know in the budgeting process, one of the highlights, this is a number of years ago, but from the House, Representative Rukavina came into conference committee where he declared a savings of $30 million in his division based upon the elimination of contracts. And, of course, he didn't have jurisdiction over the money. It would have gotten rid of half the faculty at Minsku or at the university, one place or the other. So I'm just wondering, how would you see this implemented in practice as opposed to the theory of the bill?
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Cohen, I guess the point for me is that when we remove the mandate to first see if there's an available state employee to do this or someone that has been employed within the last 4 years, we're allowing the individuals that we put in charge of these departments to exercise their discretion as to the most cost-effective way to do things. And so I guess in practice, how I would see this operating is an individual who's making this decision is free, just like they would be if they were running any kind of a business. They're running a business that is funded by the taxpayers to determine the best way to do this without the requirement that they go through this process of determining whether or not there are employees within the state that meet these certain criteria and that they therefore have to use them rather than contracting the service.
So, Madam Chair, Senator Thompson, at the end of the day, the one thing your legislation does is simply eliminate that requirement. And so I hate to put it in a pejorative sense, but is this another, to speak in a little bit of hyperbole, is this another, let's get state employees kind of approach to things?
Senator Thompson.
Madam Chair and Senator Cohen, that certainly is no purpose of mine, either related to this bill or any other bill. I think that we all value what state employees do for us, and we value the services they provide. That being said, I don't think that we should encourage employment or lack of employment just for the reasons of supporting or not supporting public employees. What we should do is try to find the most cost-effective way to do things for taxpayers, and if that results in hiring more government employees, public servants, that's fine, and if it results in using them less, that is fine too. I certainly have no ulterior motive other than to say, let's allow the folks who we put in charge of administering these contracts and administering these departments to not have their hands tied, but to be able to make decisions that are most cost-effective for the taxpayers and still get the job done.
Any other questions? Anyone in the audience who wants to testify for or against the probable fiscal impact?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Julie Blyle, Legislative Director for AFSCME Council 5. The Chair indicated the fiscal impact. We'd like to go on record in strong opposition to Senator Thompson's bill. This is language that our employees, state employees, view as very important. There are a number of state employees here with me today from the Department of Transportation and the Department of Corrections. When they heard this bill was coming up, I'm referring back to Senator Cohen's comments, their words to me is, why are they attacking us? And with that, we would urge that the committee defeat the proposal before you. Thank you.
Anyone else? If not, is there a motion on the bill? Senator Newman. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Senate File 2090 be recommended to pass and proceed to the floor.
On the motion made by Senator Newman that Senate File 2090 be recommended to pass and be placed on general orders, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay.
No.
The motion does prevail. The bill will be placed on general orders. Thank you, Senator Thompson.
Madam Chair and members, thank you.
Senator Peterson. This is about barbers licensing.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. We have before you today Senate File 2326 relates specifically to the Barber Board here in Minnesota. This bill is largely represents a significant update in some of the statutes relating to barbers here in Minnesota. It represents really the only changes really in many, many years. Much of the content of this bill is housekeeping in nature, and it relates specifically to barbers, as we mentioned, some of the changes in licenses and some of those fees and some of the appropriations related to that. You'll notice that there's been significant work on this bill to eliminate the cost on the current fiscal note that was just produced on yesterday, April 17th, to bring the bill into shape. Essentially, what they've done is absorb the costs that were originally associated with it. With that, certainly any questions, and would be grateful for a motion to move this bill to general orders as well.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. I see you did quite a bit of work, and we have a general fund fee that we have money coming in from the fees into the general fund and an appropriation made that's equal. And so I don't see any problem with it. With that, are there any questions? Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair and Senator Peterson, I got stuck on the paragraph that says what constitutes barbering. And I hate that when that happens. Yes, it's like you just get stuck there. I know so many men who have shaved heads now, and I don't see any reference to, you know, to dealing with, like, that part of what I better thought of as barbering. I mean, shaving the face or neck, but yeah, what happened to the rest of Senator, do you go to a barber to have the top of your head shaved? Or is this just natural?
You know what he does, but it doesn't cost much money, actually. It's quite cheap, actually.
A couple of snips to
do.
Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, I don't know a lot about barbering, but I do know I don't want any of them mad at me as a senator. I did specifically check with six different barbers in my district. None of them had any difficulty with this bill at all. In fact, support it and appreciate the professionalism that the board brings to their industry. That's what they pay these fees for, and are happy to be regulated, so to speak, in this this manner. So,
and then, Madam Chair, just one more thing, and I don't know if members know that we actually teach barbering in our prison system. So when people are there trying to, you know, figure out a new life to stay out of trouble when they are released, this is one of the professions that they are taught while they're in our prison system.
I know it's very popular at the Shakopee Women's Prison.
Yeah, there too.
They have a shop there.
Madam Chair, we used to have a prohibition from anybody who had a felony being able to be a barber. I don't know if it was the scissor and the whatever it was. Anyway, but when we found out that we actually were teaching it in our prison system, that we kind of had to make some adjustments to the law there. So.
Senator Higgins, you and I have been here long enough to remember when those adjustments were made.
That's right, because we did them.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that.
So they have a home study course as well. That's on 2.18. We're actually reducing the fee for that. Maybe Ms. Fisco, you could address that issue.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe it was 2 years ago when all of the fees for the barber bill were increased by $20 pretty much across the board. And this home study course is a 35 to 40 page booklet. And $95 seemed a little excessive, and so the board's recommending that we reduce that back and take that last increase off.
Are there any other questions or anyone who wants to testify for or against the bill? Senator Perry?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Peterson, did these fees go up, go down, or are they neutral because of the adjustments you've made?
Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Madam Chair and members, overall there is a movement up. For example, one fee that was added is a reinspection fee. Currently, right now, when the board goes out and inspects a shop, for example, and they fail, so to speak, or there's things that have to be done, currently there is no charge for the barber board to come back out. And so, there, for example, there's a charge now for reinspection if the board goes out and a shop is found to be unsanitary, for example, and the board has to return, that inspector has to return, there's a fee for that reinspection, for example, is one of the areas that was not there before, simply because of the cost of somebody in St. Paul getting in a vehicle, potentially driving out to Brainerd, so to speak. There's a significant cost to do that, and as I said, the industry is happy to do that. So,
and Senator Peterson, it doesn't look like the fees for existing services in most cases are going up. You're actually adding new lines with fee, like for the retake of the written examination that didn't have a fee before, apparently, but it is a service that they're receiving. So there's now a fee associated with it. But the other license fees did not increase, it looks like, and the one for the online or the home study course actually went down. Any other questions? Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Peterson, can you take me just back a little bit as to with regards to fees, what does it cost to administer this area of our government? Have you got any ideas of what that costs, or are these offsetting the cost to the difference in the ratio of revenue versus expenditure?
Senator Peterson,
Madam Chair, if I may respond.
Yes.
Thank you. Currently, the barber board's allocation is $257,000, and we certainly stay within that allocation. This bill represents the generating of some new fees, and we would, we're respectfully requesting that the money generated come to the board in the allocation, and so that we can increase some of our services. And
So, Madam Chair, just to follow up, so the $30,800 is the increase. Is that what I'm reading?
Actually, $30,000. Yes, correct.
$30,000. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments from the audience? If not, we're ready for a motion. Senator Fischbach.
Madam Chair, I'll make whatever motion is appropriate.
Senator Fischbach moves that Senate File 2326 be recommended to pass and be placed on general orders. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. The bill will be placed on general orders. Thank you, Senator Peterson.
Thank you.
Our next bill up is Senator Bana. She's making a return visit to us with Senate File 2304. It has to do with the Sunset Advisory Commission. Good morning, Senator Bonoff.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. We did re-refer this bill back here because when we got the fiscal note, which was during the break, it was 55 pages long. And so while we have dealt with the fiscal note, I thought it was not really appropriate to deal with a fiscal note of that size on the Senate floor. So I appreciate your patience for being back here. Madam Chair, if you look at the fiscal note, what you see for the most part is costs associated with the new reporting requirements that we have given to the health licensing boards. What we have done in the amendment before you, and I guess before we go on, I would like to move the A31 amendment.
A31 will be distributed.
And, Madam Chair, while it's being passed out, the one other thing that A31 does besides deal with the fiscal note is it includes a provision that says after the Office of Legislative Auditor does their investigative report on the Medical Licensing Board, that they would give their findings first to the Legislative Audit Commission, and then the remaining parts stay intact. So they'd be giving the report to the Sunset Commission and the committees of jurisdiction. That amendment was created as a result of members of the Legislative Audit Commission wanting to make sure they were included in this discussion.
Thank you.
With regard to the remainder of the amendment, what this amendment does is it takes the information we got from the fiscal note and it appropriates the money from the special revenue funds to cover those costs, although I will say that we have not done it dollar for dollar because in keeping with the practice we have found with regard to many of the bills we've looked at in finance, we find that the fiscal notes include excess costs that we are not looking to, that we think are not necessary. So, in fact, we've cut down so that we are appropriating $555,000 from the special revenue fund, although the fiscal note actually reports $699,000. Madam Chair, it looks like Mr. Gustafson has a question.
No, Senator Bonoff, it's not on this.
Okay, good.
Madam Chair.
Senator Higgins.
The special revenue fund that you reference, Senator Bonoff, is that the funds going in there come from what?
Senator Madam Bonoff. Chair, Senator Higgins, they come from the board's licensing fees, so, and they are sitting on a pretty hefty reserve, and in fact, that is one of the reasons why we've done two things within the bigger bill. We've asked the health licensing or all of the licensing boards to do a look back over the last several years to look at how much revenue they do generate and then adjust their fees downward accordingly, as well as asking the legislative auditor to do this review because we, in fact, think that it's worth looking at. In particular, the Medical Health Licensing Board has built up a very significant reserve.
Senator Perry.
Madam Chair, thank you. Senator Bonoff, can we just talk a little bit, and I can't recall, but Section 11, Board of Pharmacy, the $61,000 for additional staff cost, are they, refresh my memory, are they requesting to add staff, or what was the purpose for the extra dollars?
Madam Chair, Senator Perry, in each case, what the fiscal note did is it looked at what it would take to comply with the requirements within the bill, which now says we have to investigate the data on all of the licensees going forward, the renewals, looking. It actually says in here a 10-year look back. You'll see there's going to be a second amendment coming forward that actually says this 10-year look back will begin now on all new licensees going forward. But it's those kinds of duties. And when our fiscal analysts looked at that, that's what they have assessed. If it doesn't end up costing that, that money will go back into the special reserve.
Okay.
Are there any other questions about the amendment? If not, shall we move the amendment? Are you ready?
Yeah, please do, Madam Chair.
Senator Bonoff moves the A31 amendment. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, is there another amendment up at the desk?
Madam Chair.
Senator Perry.
I believe I have the A30 amendment.
Thank you.
And if I could get a copy of that as well. I have it. Thank you.
Senator Perry, would you like to explain the amendment?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. What this amendment does is it kind of carves out the Combative Sports Commission. It takes the Combative Sports and puts it back to where, as I understand it, it originally was, and maybe Mr. Hubinger can help me out here a little bit with that. And that is our intent. We really couldn't find a home for it. We originally looked at putting it together with the amateur sports, and there were some grave concerns that we're putting what is more likely a pro sport with amateur sports, if I may, but maybe we can get more clarification, because I know Senator Bonoff and worked pretty hard on this, and we came to that conclusion.
Madam Chair, just some history. During the course of the testimony at the Sunset Commission, there was some irregularities that were brought forward about the Combative Sports Commission. And so some members brought forward the idea, as Senator Perry said, of merging with amateur sports. We asked the OLA and the Department of Admin to investigate that. They came back with a negative on that, said it wouldn't be a good fit. They actually recommended it go to the Department of Public Safety to provide oversight. That was the way it was in the first rendition of the Sunset Commission bill when it was first heard in committees. We heard from both the Department of Public Safety and the Governor's Office that they were strongly opposed to doing that. In fact, the Governor's Office was strongly opposed to it going to any of their agencies. They very much preferred that we treat the Combative Sports Commission the same way we treated the Council on Black Minnesotans and leave it as a standalone and give them in essence, a two-year probation. Many members of the Sunset Commission were troubled by that, Senator Perry being one of them. So if you recall, he actually voted against the bill in finance. So I believe Senator Perry's offering this as a compromise so that he could support the direction that the Sunset Commission took.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Senator Bonoff, the only, and I know this has gone through State Gov. The only issue that I have still, and maybe we could discuss that. I don't like the idea that we first and foremost, I don't like to keep adding advisory groups. I think I've set the tone for that. But what this does in providing members as provided under Section 15.059, I've asked Ms. James to look at that. It's pretty open-ended as to the amount of members, how many members, and that bothers me somewhat. And I don't know if that's something that, not that I want to hold another committee hearing, or if that's something we could maybe discuss here and try to lay that out. Because it does bother me, because I don't know what kind of advisory committee they've had in the past, how big it should be, who should be on that, and that's one thing that we haven't quite vetted yet. So,
Madam
if you
Chair
could respond.
And Senator Perry, yes.
Senator Bonoff.
Actually, what it does is it takes the exact commission as we currently have it. If you look at Section 5, the transfer of duties, and it says members currently serving on the Combative Sports Commission are appointed to the Combative Sports Advisory Council, and I believe there's five, and so that's who would be transferred. So it actually, the way this is drafted is exactly that way.
Senator Higgins?
So, Madam Chair, I thought that the amendment was making extending the board, but it looks like what you're doing. Oh, you're changing a commission to an advisory board. That's it. Madam Chair, I remember when we established this Combative Sports thing, and, you know, you could tell there was going to be trouble with this commission. Were you in here? I think you were.
I was.
When they almost had fisticuffs sitting at the table, and, you know, between the boxing board and the Combative Sports people I think there were just a lot of people wondering what we were getting ourselves into when we even set this thing in place. And I don't know the answer to it, but I'm willing to go along with trying to try something else. But maybe it's a collection of people who are avid about their sports who just don't respect the other people in the group. Maybe they, you know, who knows what it is. But if somebody has some time to get to the bottom of it, have at it.
Well, Madam Chair, Bonner. It's actually gotten better, Senator Higgins. As I understand it, there's much more professionalism with the new members on the commission. The irregularities had to do with they didn't have a good financial model. The interesting thing about going back to the Department of Labor and Industry is Governor Pawlenty actually went at the time to Commissioner then Swigum and asked if he would kind of shepherd this group and take care of it, and they did. And so the people in this department actually have some experience and expertise working with this group, and it's a growing sport, not just in Minnesota, but nationally, even though many of us, including myself, don't understand it.
Senator Bonner, the last time you were in here, we added some legislative members to this board, and you were sent to Rules Committee as a result, but now they're gone. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, yes. That was my own compromise. I didn't feel good about them being on their own without oversight, as Senator Limmer did that amendment, and the governor's office wanted it that way. So the governor's office and Senator Limmer were pleased with that solution, but then the only way I could support it going forward was to add legislative members. If it's going back to the Department of Labor, I don't need those members.
Okay. Everyone understand the amendment. Senator Perry, did you have any further questions?
Yeah, 1 minute.
Okay. Senator Magnus.
So, Madam Chair and Senator Bonner, you're taking the provision out on page 8 of the original bill that has the four members of the legislature pointed to that, and you do that with your amendment. I can't see where it does that, but maybe I'm just not finding it right.
Madam Chair,
is it on this question about the legislative members?
Let me try to clear something.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to have Mr. Bodern. We brought up some things, and Senator Bonner and I. Not that I want to stop this, but I'm just thinking that we need to clear up some things. And maybe Mr. Bodern could explain that. And if that's the case, we might have to be looking at a quick stop. We could get that in yet. But I don't know that this is the right place to try to do that. But Mr. Bodern, why don't you
work with
Madam Chair and members. First of all, can I answer Senator Magnus's question very quickly. On the amendment, you can see it deletes page 7, section 14. So that takes care of the membership there. Looking at the A30 amendment and the composition of the advisory group, on page 1, line 15 of the amendment, it provides the commissioner authority to appoint the advisory council. Doesn't specify the exact number of members. It provides discretion to the commissioner, basically, to compose this council. If you look on page 2 of the amendment, the lines 4 to 6, this was discussed earlier, members currently serving on the Combative Sports Commission are appointed to the Combative Sports Advisory Council. It may not be completely clear exactly how long those terms are, how long they would serve. They're not really appointments made by the commissioner. There's a reference to section 15.059, which provides some default terms, but I'm not 100% certain the way this is drafted that we would have a clear understanding of exactly when those terms expire, and then whether another issue might be, even though the amendment gives discretion to the commissioner to create this council and the size of the council, whether those are established positions on the council, what happens when those terms expire. I think it may be fairly straightforward, but it's a technical amendment that would require a little bit of work.
Madam Chair and Senator Perry, the way this was drafted is the way that when it went through state government and it went through Department of Public Safety, we used the exact language that went through your committee and was voted out of that. So with all due respect, I would say then we'd leave it as is versus I think we are getting down to that time where it's getting pretty tough to get back to committees and get to the floor, and we still have to go to conference. And in the House, this became a 70-page amendment to it, and so I expect conference not to be so smooth. So I would ask that if there's a technical amendment to clean some of this up, that you could give me that for the floor.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So that has to your knowledge, has the House addressed what Mr. Bonner has?
Madam Chair and Senator Perry, they have it in the Department of Labor and Industry too. Yes.
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Perry.
Then I'm okay. We can work with it. I just didn't want to get into getting on the floor and getting into the weeds and really because I know there are some members concerned. So we'll work on it before we get there. Then. All right.
Are there any other questions about the A30 amendment? If not, Senator Bonoff moves the A30 amendment on that motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Senator Hahn.
Madam Chair and Senator Bonoff, I apologize. I know we've adopted the A31 amendment, and I did want to, as I was reading through it, I would like to offer, with deference to Senator Higgins,
punctuation or spelling?
There are 19 uses of the word is, and I can point the lines that I think just make the language sound strange. For example, on line 1.22, after the dollar amount, they say the $65,000 is to, and then on the next page, looking at 2.1, $52,000 is to, 2.5, $10,000 is to. So I would like to offer an oral amendment to strike the word is from lines 1.22, 2.1, 2.5, 2.13, 2.17, 2.26, 3.3, 3.11, 3.15, 3.26, 3.30, 4.8, 4.16, 4.27, 5.4, 5.12, 5.20, 5.24, and 6.3.
That is outstanding, Madam Chair.
Just because I think that that...
Could you repeat that? Mr. Bodern didn't quite get all those numbers.
is a little awkward, and I don't... I just think you don't need to have that word in there. And
Madam Chair.
So maybe Senator Higgins can correct me if my grammar is wrong.
Madam Chair and Senator Hahn, I think in taking the verb out of those, you make them into non-sentences.
That's my fear, too. We'd have to replace
the amount is the noun, the subject, and then is the verb to make it a complete sentence.
Could we then, Madam Chair, use a different verb, perhaps? Appropriated, maybe. I just think the word is not the right verb. That's why I just said let's strike the whole thing altogether.
You could say is expended, but I
is appropriated to develop and maintain is.
Yeah. We would still have is. Yeah.
But at least there would be something.
There would be. Madam Chair, I just think the word isn't the right verb, and maybe it needs to be a compound verb. Is expended, is appropriated, is used, or something. Can I just turn it over to counsel to work with and develop some other language? It's not important in the sense of what the bill is doing, but I just think it's awkward.
Mr. Bodern, do you have any suggestions?
Madam Chair, one small thing to point out, I think in each appropriation under each section, the header says this appropriation is from the state government. So that language takes care of the appropriating. The only other suggestion I'd have, and this is all session law, obviously, it's in writer form, you could delete two and say is for. We have said it that way as well when appropriating money in writers. Maybe that sounds better.
Then it would have to be for developing and maintaining a process.
Would require a lengthier amendment.
I'll tell you what, Mr. Madam Chair, I'll just withdraw my concern here. I just think it doesn't read right, but since it's a writer language and probably no one will read it again after this anyway, we'll pass on the amendment.
Okay, that was on the A31. We passed the A30 as well. Are there any other amendments or discussion? Mr. Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a question on the A31. I know we voted on it already, but I didn't notice this until after. Line 1.13, we're appropriating $21,000 from the general fund for legislative members of the commission. What is what is that money for?
Madam Chair, Senator Nino, I apologize for not discussing that. The Sunset Commission met in its first year for approximately 30 hours and several hearings, and then met on, you know, Representative Kiffmeyer and myself beyond that as well. And there was no funds for the commission, and so leadership actually felt that they did not want to have the Senate and House budgets continue to absorb that. I believe some members took per diem, some didn't, I don't know. But anyway, so there is money appropriated for the commission itself going forward.
Madam Chair.
Senator Higgins.
On lines 15 and 16, it references the Combative Sports Commission there as well.
Oh, good catch.
So if we're making that into an advisory group, maybe that has to be removed, right?
Senator Bonoff.
Madam Chair, that is a good catch, Senator Higgins, for legislative members of the Sunset Advisory Commission. And so, Madam Chair, Senator Higgins, Mr. Gustafson, the $21,000, I know originally $24,000 was in the actual fiscal note, and you've put forward $21,000. Would that even be less given? No. Okay. Mr. Gustafson.
Madam Chair, members, the draft reflects an earlier version when prior to the development of the A30 amendment. So it might have been a higher figure. The $21,000 reflects the LCC's fiscal note for the Sunset Advisory Commission and does not include costs for the Combative Sports Commission members because they're no longer part of the bill.
So, Madam Chair, to reflect that, we should probably delete everything after commission on line 1.15 and delete everything through the period on 1.16.
That would be correct. Mm-hmm. So on that motion that we're taking out and the Combative Sports Commission on 1.15 and 1.16, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Any other questions? Anyone in the audience wishing to testify for or against the bill? If not, Senator Bonoff.
I move that Senate file 2304 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the floor.
On that motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
Nay.
The motion does prevail. The bill will be placed on general orders. Thank you, Senator Bana.
Next, we have Senate File 2558, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, members. Senate File 2558 is a technical bill that deals with the budget forecast adjustments. And as you know, every year we try and estimate what various programs will cost, and this helps with the latest figures, helps put in the latest figures. For example, we find out that the debt service is higher or lower than anticipated based on the interest rates of the bonds that we let. We find out that there's less students appearing in schools or more students appearing in schools than we had earlier estimated. So those figures are being adjusted. A lot of this has to do with school pupil adjustments for the charter school, aid for non-public schools, all based on the number of students that would be involved in adjustments for programs for nutrition in the libraries, early childhood prevention and lifelong learning adjustments, again, based on enrollment and projected use, human service forecast adjustments. All of those are included in here. Based on the last forecast that came out at the end of February. And I can defer to Mr. Gustafson with detailed questions. He probably understands this better than anyone here. So if people have questions, I would invite them.
I don't see any. Senator Romney, I would just ask, is there a net? I don't have a fiscal note in front of me right now, but is there a net fiscal impact on this? Is it a wash?
It's just based on the forecast. So
it's just syncing up numbers with what the budget says.
Okay. Right. Maybe Mr. Gustafson, would you care to add any more?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Roebling, members, the irony of the forecast adjustment bill is there are a lot of fiscal adjustments, but it does have a fiscal note of zero. And that's because you recall fiscal notes generally are always use the forecast as a reference point. And because each of these is simply aligning the legal authority for each of the accounts and what the spending authority in law with what's already been reflected in the February forecast, there is no net effect of any of the changes. So it's purely technical. It's longstanding practice to adopt forecast adjustment legislation after the February forecast to ensure that the spending authority in law matches what's already been reflected in fund statements that are part of the numbers we've been using. We did the same thing last year. Again, longstanding practice to make a technical update. It is ironic that you have many appropriation adjustments but no fiscal note.
Excuse me, Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, if I can do the editor thing just one more time. There are two places in the bill where there's a reference to a maximum tax rate or a net capacity rate of less than 1%, and it is shown as a 0.94 on line 3.14 and a 0.36% on 4.20. Since it is less than 1%, I believe for readability and to make sure that people don't miss that point there, the period, we should put a zero in front of those two decimal points. So it would be shown as 0.36 and 0.94.
And Senator Higgins, that was on line 3.14 and where?
4.20.
4.2. So Senator Higgins, okay, 4.20. Senator Higgins is moving to insert before the 0.94 on line 3.14, insert a zero. And on line 4.20, do the same thing before the 0.36. Senator Roebling, any comment?
If it makes it clearer, I'm fine with it.
It doesn't change it. It just I remember once somebody giving me directions, and it, you know, they were supposed to go like 0.2 miles to somewhere, and I saw two and went blasting right past it. And and in my professional world, there's always a zero there. So I just think for readability, it would be a good thing.
I don't see any discussion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. If there is any other questions? Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, just a comment. The last time you brought forward a technical education bill, it was about 3 hours later that we left this room, so I was wondering if there would be any adventure today, but I guess not.
No adventure today.
Okay.
All is calm.
Any other questions? Anyone want to comment on the bill or anyone in the room? Seeing none, Senator Roebling, want to make a motion?
I don't know if Mr. Nauman wants to say.
Mr. Nauman, would
Mr.
you like
Chair
to enlighten us
and
with
members,
something?
With Senator Higgins' questions, I was anticipating that perhaps there would be a little bit more discussion about why Article 1 exists. It's not a forecast portion of the bill. It relates to technical updates on several of the formulas as a result of the tax base changes that occurred last year. It is truly a technical changes, but we are updating some of the equalizing factors and threshold rates for the changes in the size of the adjusted net tax capacity tax base from last year's tax bill. That's the only reason I sat down.
Thank you, Mr. Nauman.
If not, if there's no other questions, I would like to move that Senate file number 2558 as amended be recommended to pass and placed on general orders.
Senator Roebling has moved Senate File 2558, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. Is there any discussion? Anybody want to speak to the bill before we vote? I don't see anyone standing up. Members, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. The bill is sent to the floor.
Because you're leaving? Is that pretty much what happened? You said I can't survive without you, I could.
Exactly. That's what I want to tell people.
So it's your fault.
Is this the fiscal?
Okay.
Our next bill on the agenda will be Senate File 1402. Just waiting to clarify a few things before we start.
Right.